Hello, 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 hello. It's 202. I am Richard Dixon. This is Talk 995 and TalkNet95.com. It is a happy, happy Friday. And Weber Mortgage can put you in the driver's seat when it comes to, well, I don't know, something like a cash out mortgage. What does that mean exactly? Well, you decide to refi and get a little money out, get a little equity out of your home. How long you've been paying on this thing? Now, a couple of things. Number one, the longer you've paid on it, obviously, the more equity you have in the house. Number two, I don't know if you know this or not, but house values are skyrocketing right now. You can refi at this point and probably get more out of your house than you have been able to at any given time, including of just a few weeks ago. Seriously. Now, what are you going to do with that money? Well, there's a number of things. Maybe you got a kid that's ready to go to college and you'd like to get some very low interest money to help pay that way. Maybe you are planning the trip of a lifetime and having a little extra scratch might make a difference. Don't worry. You can always turn around, pay it back quickly, and you're borrowing it at, you know, a very, very low rate compared to, say, if you were to put it on a high-interest credit card. Maybe you want to pay off high-interest credit cards. Doesn't really matter to me. Home improvements? Absolutely. You can do any and all of these things and get a lower rate when you get in touch with Weber Mortgage. Weber Mortgage with 1B, WeberMortgage.com. Look, these are the guys that are going to take such good care of you. They've done it for me. They can do it for you. They'll do it again and again and again. They know more and have forgotten more about mortgages than a lot of mortgage people will ever know. So give them a call, 270-5550, 270-5550, NMLS number 219938, WeberMortgage.com, 1B. The Reverend Dr. Father Andy Sokol is on the line, having just completed a wedding last week. And I have to start with an apology, Dr. Andy. You, like so many people, you sent me a link saying, here's the ceremony. It starts at 4 o'clock. I got that at about 2. I remembered that you had sent it to me somewhere around 5, and consequently, I ended up missing the entire ceremony. So, my apologies for being stupid, and yet pretty much par for the course for me. I guess I should have set an alarm for myself. How did it go?
Well, Richard, you know, you should have still chimed in, because remember, this was in Athens, Georgia, football town, a college campus, and we had a rain delay.
Oh, really?
The wedding was supposed to go off at 5 o'clock Eastern time, and when we started arriving around 4 o'clock, it was drizzling. And the rainstorm that came through Birmingham Saturday afternoon arrived in Athens, Georgia, where the wedding was, at 4:15. And it was a monsoon. It was kind of like Forrest Gump. Rain was coming down, coming from the left to the right. So the wedding had a delay. Everybody hoarded out into the house. There was a tent area, and then there was a courtyard outside where the wedding was supposed to be. So there was a delay. We were all gathered in the house. And what do you do when there's a rain delay for a wedding? You open the bar and start serving the appetizers. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But allowed. And bless my niece's heart. She was the most beautiful bride I've ever seen, and her husband, but she was panicked because nothing was going to go the way they had planned it. Now, you and me and all the other guests, we didn't know what they had planned, and they think, wow, what a great audible. It had a delay, but she had a lot of little things that were going on in the reception that got pushed aside because of the rain. Aww. She knew it. We didn't know it. Now, here's the key thing. The reception was going to be under a tent. Well, at 4:15, the rains came and it blew into the tent, and it damaged some of the equipment of the band.
Oh,
and the band said, hey, we're out of here. So they were packing up and leaving. Fortunately, it was a college town. There were college kids there, and they said, hang on, we know somebody. So they made a phone call. There was a band coming back from a gig doing a lunchtime outing at the lake. And they said, sure, we can do it. So they zipped in and they set up. The wedding went about an hour later than planned. Mm-hmm. They were able to do it outside in the little courtyard area. Instead of setting up 175 chairs for everybody, there was like two rows for like the family and the old folks, like my mother. And it was just an audible. It was just an audible. And because they opened the bar and started serving appetizers, let me tell you, Number one, this was my first wedding to officiate. Number two, the crowd was involved. When the groom walked down the aisle, these people were cheering, yeah! And he's sitting there egging them on to cheer more. And there was a point in the wedding. I did my sermon, if you would, and when we were heading towards the formal nuptials and the vows and the rings, I stopped everybody, and I said, Kirby and Frank, I want y'all to turn around. And I want you to face this crowd and see what we see from our view. Because all they had was their backs to the crowd. Mm-hmm. I said, I want you to turn and see what we see. And they turned, and this crowd hooped and hollered and cheered and just gave them so much love. And it was a great photo op. Then they turned back, and we finished it up. The only thing Jewish they did is they broke the glass, smashed the glass.
Sure.
And when they smashed the glass, everybody screamed, Mazel Tov, and the party began. So from my perspective, it was a home run. There was a little delay. There was a little ad lib that I could add in with the rain. I said something like, you people down here in Georgia, y'all call that rain. I call it wet sunshine. And then because many people were standing in this courtyard in heels, I said, all right, guys, hunker down. We don't have enough chairs for everybody. And that got a lot of laughs. The wedding went off well. It was a wonderful weekend. Athens was really a great city to host a wedding. And here's why. Everybody that was at this wedding was an out-of-towner. It was a destination wedding. There were three hotels, all in walking distance. All the parties were in walking distance. It was like we were on a college campus.
Because you were, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But the thing about it, everything was walking distance. The after-rehearsal dinner, the after-rehearsal party. We went to a couple of sports bars before one of the events. It was outstanding. And Richard, I'm a veterinarian by trade. But I got some extremely positive feedback from my first wedding to perform as an officiant. One person even said, hey, how long have you been doing this? I said, this was my first. They go, no way.
And you said, Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Yeah,
that was good.
Get it?
Very
huh?
Well
yeah. Okay.
Well played. My nephew and I, we were standing on some chairs with these worms that had neon lights in them, and I was acting like I was drumming to the band, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
This couple looked up and goes, look, can you believe that's the pastor? And the other guy goes, no, that's not the pastor, that's the veterinarian.
He's a veterinarian. It's not, yeah, he was partying hard. He was taking part in the open bar. As well as everyone else. I love a Georgia wedding, by the way. I went to a wedding in Savannah probably 15 years ago, and they served alcohol before the wedding. Everybody walked into the church with a glass of booze in their hand. I was just like, only in Savannah, Georgia, do they have weddings like this. Unbelievable. All right, save the rest of that story because we got to take a break, and I know there's more to come. And we got a lot of folks who are lined up on the phones who want to talk as well. So stick around. Dr. Andy Sokol is with us, Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic, of course. The Reverend Dr. Pastor Father Rabbi Sokol. We'll call him for the moment, and we'll hurry back. Stick around. Oh, yeah. 2016, TalkNet95, TalkNet95.com. Dr. Andy Sokol hanging out with us on the Birmingham Broca Hotline. He just finished off a wedding. Before we get back to that, let's go to the phones. Ernest is in Homewood with an answer to the big stupid question of the day. You've got a buffet in front of you with every single food available in the world, but you can only take them one at a time. What do you head for first, Ernest? What do you got?
Dim sum.
That's it. Dim sum. You're going straight for the old pot stickers.
That's right.
Okay. Can't blame me for that. I love them. I love them, and I introduced SHG to them. She'd never had them before, first at a restaurant, then I made them at home, and, I don't know of anybody who doesn't love them. Once you've had them, you got to love them. Dim sum, so good. Quickly, let's talk to Scott on a cell phone. He wants to praise Dr. Andy Sokol. What's up, Scotty?
Hello. I've known Dr. Sokol now for, many years. I think more than 20, ever since we moved to Birmingham, Alabama, and we had two big dogs, and Dr. Andy was our incredible vet, always took such amazing care of Rafi and Maggie. Then we moved, everybody moved to Houston, Texas, where I actually happened to be a rabbi, and I was in Birmingham as well, so I was getting a kick out of the story that Andy was telling about doing the wedding. I hadn't heard that Andy had added rabbi to his illustrious list of titles. But man, I could totally see Andy doing that, and I'm sure they had an absolute blast. And Andy, I just love it. I wanted to share that we've since been living in Houston. Last summer, we got a new puppy, and her name is Michigan. She's a boxer bull mix. She was a foster. Well, she was actually a foster fail from about the moment, the first hour when she was with us. And while we do have a local vet, you know, I can't stop but, you know, thinking about Andy as our vet. So he very kindly allows me to text him when I've had some questions. And recently, Michigan developed something. We didn't really know what it was, but she was really having a bad GI experience. And she lost like 5 pounds in a matter of 10 days. And she just couldn't keep anything in. And everything that went in, it didn't come out the way it should, not to get too graphic. But I've been texting back and forth, and Andy gave me advice that I had never, ever heard of, and that was, I'd heard about it for people, but I'd never heard about it for dogs, and that was chicken soup and matzo balls. See, in Judaism, we consider chicken soup and matzo balls to be what we call Jewish penicillin.
Exactly.
It solves everything.
Yeah.
It takes care of everything. There's something about it that just really does the healing.
I know.
Man, did that help.
I used to go to Max's Deli. Anytime I started to feel just a little bit ill, I would go to Max's Deli, get their matzo ball soup. Oh, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Fixed things up right away.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest trick was she wasn't drinking. And, you know, of course, that's the problem with getting dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And she, more than the matzo balls, what she really took to and couldn't drink enough of was the broth.
Mm-hmm.
She just, you know, lapped it up.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what helped her turn the corner.
Is this Michigan J. Bulldog? Is that what you named her? Michigan J. Bulldog? That's not right.
No, we named her. So my son was heading off to the University of Michigan, and so he named her Blue. But I said, I need more than one syllable for my dog's name. And he left to go to college. So he said, well, her name's Blue. I said, well, you know what? You're gone. And so we named her Michigan. So we'll call her Michigan Blue. Sometimes we'll call her Michigan Bluestein. Not sure why, but my wife.
Why not? Not Wolverine? Why didn't you just go for Wolverine? Huh?
You know
See?
What? That would have been a really good idea.
Let
me tell you something. I send a lot of money to the Wolverine.
Exactly. Next time, check with me before you name an animal. You call me.
I will.
I'll take care of it for you.
I will.
Thank you.
That's a great
Thank
idea.
You, Scott.
But Dr. Sokol, he really gets it.
I agree with. I mean, look, I moved to Orlando and I called Dr. Andy with great regularity. Like, here's what the dog is doing now. I couldn't find a vet I liked anywhere near as much, and he took care of me for quite a while.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scotty. Have a great day, man, and thank you for the kind words. Enjoy Houston, the flattest, hottest city I've ever been to. You ever been to Houston, Dr. Andy?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. When Auburn played Texas A&M, we stayed over there. But let me tell you the veterinary side of Rabbi Scott and Natalie's call about Michigan. I get a phone call right after the Passover Seder that his dog has GI issues. Okay, he's out of town. There's not much I physically can do. So, like, hang on. We need to get fluids into this dog, and we need to get some fiber into this dog. So I stopped and I said, Rabbi Scott, you just served matzo ball soup to your family. I said, get it room temperature. Chop up the matzo ball, offer it to the dog. Why? Because the chicken broth is going to add the fluids, the matzo balls is going to be the fiber, and who knew? And he goes, yeah, that's what we call Jewish penicillin, and it worked.
Lo and behold, I shouldn't be surprised. you know, I mean, the number of every day around the house sort of solutions that, you know, yogurt is so frequently used when it comes to treating dog GI issues and things of that nature. You know, why not matzo ball soup? Earl is on a cell phone. Earl, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk about the Jewish food. I got sent to Philadelphia for a safety.
You're going to have to speak up, Earl. I can barely hear you, man.
Hey, can you hear me now?
There you go. Much better.
Yeah. I got sent to Philadelphia on a safety convention, and we didn't, you know, you stay in New Jersey, ride a train in. So we didn't know where to eat. And I just asked one of the people on the street. They asked me, if you've been up here, I don't even know what to call it. It's like a big warehouse. And in the warehouse, it's just any ethnic food that you can think of is there. German, Jewish, Chinese, Thai, you just name it, it's there. And you just walk around these little square spots and just they'll let you sample. You can fill up on the sample.
So it's like Costco. Gotcha.
I mean, but it's made right there. That to me was the best. Mm. I'd rather been there than anywhere.
Love it. Is that all you have to say? That's you're done? You're finished with the subject?
Well, yeah, I ain't going to tie you up with anything.
No, that's perfectly okay.
It's Friday.
I'm interested in what you have to say. I love situations like that. The more, the better.
Well,
we have our own Pizzitz food pavilion here in Birmingham, but those kinds of things, they're getting harder to come by because of this COVID thing. People are freaking out. They're not even putting salt and pepper shakers on the table anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you was going to go downtown Philadelphia, I would suggest spending your lunch there, you know, because it's worth it.
I got to get a cheesesteak, though.
Again, I don't know with the COVID.
Got to have a cheesesteak. Marvelous. Thank you for the call, sir. Have a great day. There's Earl.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Goodbye, Earl. That was one for Dixie Chicks fans. Just wanted to get that in there.
They're chicks now. They're the chicks.
They're just the chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you something. They've never been the chicks. They've always been a little, you know what they should call themselves? The fat chicks. That's what they really ought to go with. Okay, I'm going to get in trouble for that. Why not make it the first half hour and the last half hour of the show that makes sure I never work again, huh? Let's do that. Dr. Andy Sokol is with us. Stick around. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, First News Time. Hey, tis I, Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. So you've decided you're going to try to do something unique with your lighting. Now is the time to change things up at your house. Maybe do some of that great recessed lighting you've heard so much about. Well, after you get done putting holes in your ceiling and realizing that this is a lot more complex than you thought it was, it's a good idea to pick up the phone and call Love Lady Electrical Contractors and just let them do it for you. Look, these guys, they put a light in my shower. Now, this involves a couple of things. Number one, they had to wire up a light to a switch. Fortunately, there was an existing switch that I had them wire it to. I knew how I wanted it. But they had to wire up a light to a switch, okay? They had to cut a hole. That's for starters. It had to be waterproof because it was going in a shower. And they managed to do it in record time. I mean, just one of the many things that they do at Love Lady. And that's nothing compared to wiring up, entire subdivisions, which they do, rewiring industrial complexes, which they do, and then fixing whatever ails you. They do that too. Whole home generators and more. Find out all about it. 603-3692. $30 off your initial call when you mention you heard it here. Richard Dixon, Love Lady Electrical Contractors, 603-3692. And to Dr. Andy Sokol, we go on the Birmingham Broker Hotline. He has an answer to the big stupid question of the day. You've got every food available in the world at this buffet. You can only take one food at a time. That's the only rule. So what food do you go for first? And my favorite answer so far has been the person on Facebook who said, I don't do buffets. It's like it's a hypothetical buffet. Get over it, lady. Anyway.
Richard.
Yeah.
First off, been there, done that.
Yeah.
And here's the story. You remember every year I go to Vegas for a veterinary conference?
Oh, yeah.
And one year, Dr. Brant Tolbert, one of our colleagues, went with me. And all he kept talking about was the buffet at the Rio, not the front buffet. There's a buffet in the back called the World Buffet. Okay? Ooh. And so we're there. He had just come out of Mardi Gras from New Orleans, flew to Las Vegas. We're at the veterinary conference. He tells me, 4 o'clock, we're walking out of the conference. I'm like, 4 o'clock? Why? He goes, we got to go eat. I said, 4 o'clock? He goes, trust me. He knew, A, it was going to be a crowd. B, we had to eat so we had enough room in our stomach by 9 o'clock to go out. But I have never, ever, ever experienced a buffet like this at the Rio, at the World Buffet. First thing I'm going to do is take inventory. And there are 6, but lack of better term, food troughs that go about 200 feet each direction. And I just walk up and down surveying it. I cannot think of a food item that was not on there. There was an Italian section. There was an Indian section. There was a Chinese section. There was a sushi section. And, I mean, every food you could ever like. And as I'm walking up and down going, ooh, I like that. Ooh, I like that. From fried pork chops to fried calamari to oysters to shrimp to sushi. Everything was great. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Until I got to one section, langostinos, baby lobster tails.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm not talking, I mean, they had them steamed, they had them fried, and they had them char-grilled. That is all we ate. Me and Brant Tolbert, and I believe Lisa Foote, all we did was pack. They didn't make any money off of us because all we did was get langostino after langostino after langostino. And when we were done, the whole table was full of the shells.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first and only time I've ever eaten my fill on lobster tails. Been there, done that. I would do it again and make the same beeline to the same section of the buffet.
So this is, you went straight for the seafood. And that's high on my list, too. I think that would be the first place that I would go as well. Mm-hmm.
One item.
And lobster tails.
One item. Right.
Yeah. Lobster tails might be high on my list there. I love crab legs, too. Don't get those very often. People say, well, it's just a vehicle for the butter. And that's a bad thing? No. The reality is a lot of times I'll eat it without the butter because I do just love the taste of these things. I adore them.
And,
on the other hand,
let me address.
I mean, I love ribs. I love a good steak, you know. Yeah. I love a good piece of prime rib. So I'm not going to turn any of those things down. The question is, what do you go for first? And for you and me, probably the lobster tails, yeah.
And everything on the buffet, you're like, wow, I like that. They had prime rib. They had steak. They had fillets. But it was like, no. When you took survey of everything, I went for what I consider the most expensive and what I really don't eat a lot of because of price and availability. Mm. And went straight there. Now, let me address something your producer, who I really love, Sears, said. He was talking about crawfish or crabs or shrimp, too much work. Eating crawfish, which I just did today at the Cajun Row in Hoover, it's not about the food. It's about the atmosphere. I will stay there for 2 to 3 hours cracking crawfish. And by the time 3 hours have passed, I've gotten full. But it's not, you don't show up starving, let me eat because I'm going to get full. It's an event. That's what I love about eating crab, crawfish, shrimp. It's a process, and over time, you're going to fill up, but you're enjoying the atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And also, I'm not averse to eating slowly. You know, shoveling a lot of food in a fast way is a good way to get full and then be, like, miserable. Because you shovel it in so quickly that your body doesn't ever really have time to realize, hey, I'm full, stop. And, you know, you pack even more in, and later that night you're laying in bed going, why did I do that? I didn't even enjoy it that much. Or maybe that's just me.
When I watch eating competitions and somebody's trying to cram as many oysters in their gut, I'm going, you're wasting them. You're wasting them. You know?
You ever notice, though, how the people that win those things are almost never fat people? It's almost always people that are in really good shape.
I still wonder how they train. I mean, you go train for a marathon, you run. How do you train for a eating competition.
I got to tell, I read an article by a guy who did this. He said he was watching the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, and he said, this doesn't look that hard. I feel like I could do this. So he went out, and he got a bunch of Nathan's hot dogs, and he cooked them up on his stove, and he put them in buns like they did. And he said, you know, I had 25 of these hot dogs ready to go, and I got through about four of them, and I thought, oh, I was so wrong about how hard this is. But he said, unfortunately, it got him a taste. He's one of these guys who's like, once I put my mind to something, I have to get good at it, or I'm disappointed. I can't fail. So what does he do? He starts reading up on it. And the number one way that they train is to chug water and stretch their stomach out, sure, because it has no calories. And he said, it's amazing what kind of good shape you have to be in. He said, I had to run. I had to work out. You know, I had to get to the point where I had a lot of muscle, because muscle just eats those calories up. When you have good muscle, it just eats your calories for you. So you don't have to worry about it so much. You can take in better than 2,000, 3,000 calories. And then, you know, he said, day before the competition, you got to drink like 2 gallons of water over the course of the day. And if you can do it a gallon that morning, and then of course expel it again, you know, you have to get it in and then you have to get it back out, and then you can go, you got your stomach stretched out, you got plenty of room, you eat it very, very quickly. He said he never won a competition, but he was respectable enough in his handling of this that he said, I felt like I succeeded and I could move on. He said, it's a chapter of my life I'm glad is over. But like you, I always wondered, how the hell do these guys train for these things? It's not sitting around and eating hot dogs all day, fortunately. I couldn't do it. I have no interest in that. I don't even want to do like the food challenges that people, like restaurants will have. Hey, if you finish this whole thing in 45 minutes, it's free. No, I'll take the smaller version and I'll pay for it. I'm supposed to be enjoying myself, not trying to kill myself with your food, right?
Right. And Richard, when I was younger, especially in college, if there was an all-you-can-eat buffet, I was like all about it. But as I've gotten older, those don't excite me. I kind of overeat and then I'm miserable and then I'm sleepy, especially if it's lunch. You know? I'm not for all-you-can-eat buffets anymore.
Oh, I used to be able to put away an entire large Domino's pizza when I was a kid. An entire, by myself, I could eat an entire large Domino's pizza. And now I'm kind of like, three pieces in, I'm good. I'll put the rest of this away. We'll eat it tomorrow morning for breakfast, you know, and again for lunch. I'll just keep eating pizza till I'm done. Anyway, I don't know if you know this or not, Dr. Andy Sokol is also a veterinarian. So if you have any questions about your animals, now would be a good time
to
call in.
How do we get them to get into competitive eating, Dr. Andy?
Get animals into competitive eating? Well, they are already in competitive eating. What do you think those hot dogs are made out of? Anyway, let's do this. A quick break. We'll come back and continue with this nonsense that has become my radio show. Stick around. You know what I didn't hear today, David? Maybe I missed it. I probably did. I didn't hear I want to be sedated. Did you break that out at some point?
I did not.
2024 hours.
I did not do that sedated. Or Rock and Roll High School.
A classic, of course, yeah.
I went for some deeper cuts, and then, of course, I finished up with, I think, their two biggest hits, Beat on the Brat and Blitzkrieg
Bop. Those would be the big ones. Still good stuff. Love them all. Love everything the Ramones ever did. Like I said, 3 chords, 2 minutes, 10 seconds. That's my kind of music right there. Dr. Andy Sokol is hanging out with us here on a Friday afternoon. And Dixter is on a cell phone with a question for the good doctor. Dixter, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man?
Wanted to ask Dr. Andy a short question. What is his perspective of Dynavite? And I'll listen on the radio. Thank you.
Boy. People love this question, don't they? People ask this question a lot. I can answer it for you. I'll answer it the way Dr. Andy would. It's what we call a nutraceutical. It's full of fatty acids that help your animal's skin. Am I close here, Dr. Andy? Am I getting...
You're right on. Because what Dynavite is, it's a nutraceutical, meaning a fancy word for vitamin, that's loaded in essential fatty acids that's just good for every organ system in the body. You talk to any nutraceutical physician, they're going to talk about essential fatty acids. What I don't like about the Dynavite ad is it says, we were going to take our dog to be put to sleep, and they prescribed this medicine and this vitamin, and it saved them. I mean, I can't really think of any case that a dying dog or about to be put to sleep, this is going to save them. No. Unless their skin condition is so out of control that the owners are throwing in their hands. But my advice in that situation is go to a new vet first, because you've got other medical options, and the nutraceuticals are additives. They're extra treatment for vitamin support. So that's my thought of Dynavite. I love the idea. It's essential fatty acids. There's another one on the market called the Missing Link. Definitely, definitely. It's like you taking a great Flintstone vitamin.
You notice there's no Betty's in the Flintstone vitamins. Is that weird? Why are we against Betty? I don't understand. Fred's there. Barney's there. Dino's there. There's even a Wilma. They got the kids. They got Pebbles and Bam Bam. No Betty. I want
vitamin
some
recognition.
I want
those
some
are the ones that are, you recognize. I mean, it's kind of like the Super Friends. You can recognize Superman, Batman, and Aquaman, and the Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Well, who else? I mean, what about the Wonder Twins? Huh? Wonder Twin Power Activate. Huh? You're not going to get those? What about Gleep?
Not recognized.
What about Gleep, the little monkey that used to come with the Wonder Twins? Remember that? Weird.
Look at the animal crackers, Richard. Animal crackers, you're going to have an elephant, you're going to have a tiger, and I don't know what else, but you're not going to have the
giraffe.
Old emu
giraffe.
Or the
giraffe.
Camel.
Yeah. I don't eat animal crackers. I'm a vegetarian, so I just, you know. They all taste the same, by the way. I was a little kind of upset by that when I was a kid. I was like, what does a tiger taste like? It tastes like the rest of these crackers. That's not cool. This is
and the
so
other
unfair.
Thing is M&M's, no matter the color, it tastes the same.
I could have sworn when I was a kid the tan ones, which don't exist anymore, could have sworn they tasted different. I always thought the tan ones tasted a little bit different.
No, the
Maybe
tan crayons taste different than the red crayons and the blue crayons.
I was smart enough not to eat my crayons, so I have no idea about that.
But blew my mind, Fruit Loops all taste the same. Until you said that, and I did taste test at home. It was so nuts.
Hate to break people's hearts with that, but yes, Fruit Loops are all the same flavor. They're all fruit, F-R-O-O-T, fruit.
You're right. They don't put the U-I-T in it because then they make it healthy.
Yeah, it would actually have to be fruit in order to make that work. Hey, McDonald's is closing hundreds of their stores, the ones that are inside the Walmarts. They're closing better than half of those because their sales have been fairly sluggish. I got to, you know, because it's usually the Walmart supercenters that have these, right? And you walk in, there's a McDonald's there, and then over at the deli, they've got the chicken fingers that the smell is wafting over to you, right? I mean, which one of those are you going to pick? Are you going to take the Walmart chicken fingers? Are you going to take the McDonald's? I'm going to go with the chicken fingers probably 10 times out of 10.
See, the one in Summerton is the one we go to the most. It has a Subway, and it's literally right by the entrance. So you have to walk to the Subway and get all the fresh bread smell before you get to the chicken finger smell.
Okay, I don't know if Subway is doing this. All I know is that the McDonald's is...
Jasper Walmart used to have a McDonald's, and it closed, and they kind of just carved that area out for, like, special sales and stuff. But, it was right next to the deli. So, I mean, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the fried chicken, or you've got McDonald's. What you going to go with? Fried chicken.
But a lot of times, they'll have a limited menu in those McDonald's, too, you know?
But you have to look at the business side of that. It's not a destination. You're not going to Walmart because I want McDonald's. You're going to Walmart and say, oh, you know what? Maybe we'll get a McDonald's there. So that's why they're closing them, because it's not going to maintain the dollars amount that a freestanding store is going to, because it's not a destination.
I also think that it's designed to try to keep you in the store. If you're shopping and it's like, well, we got to get some lunch. There's a McDonald's right here. Let's grab the McDonald's. We'll continue shopping and get what we need to get. It's a little bit like why casinos have restaurants in them. They're not making money off those restaurants and casinos. They're making money off of you staying in the building and continuing to pour money into the slot machines or the crabs table or wherever it is you're throwing your money. So I think that might be what they're all about. But anyway, McDonald's not making the coin that they used to off of those stores. And I just saw a little further in the article, David, it turns out Subway is pulling up stakes in some of those restaurants. Some of those stores as well. So you may soon be. Yes.
I have a suggestion. When I go to Walmart, when I go to Sam's, or when I go to Costco, I'm always going to stop at their deli and get a pizza or a hot dog. Their hot dog is $1.50 for that, or $1.90 for the sandwich, for the hot dog and the soda, or a piece of pizza for $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they take the Subways out, take the McDonald's out, and just put in the Sam's hot dog and the hot dog deli?
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah,
I will stop for the hot dog. I'm not going to stop for McDonald's.
I'm not going to stop for that either. If they put that kind of thing and they had the same sort of Sam's Club pizza, they had the same sort of hot dogs. Those all beef hot dogs were pretty good for the price, man. And that gigantic tub of soda that you can get for 89 cents at the Sam's Club.
Sure.
Count me in for some of that action. I think Dr. Andy may have just come up with a new business model. McDonald's, see ya. Here comes the food court at the Wally World. I like it.
And they have a good weekend. Have the food there.
That's true. And they're making it right there. They got the deli. They got everything. Thank you. A pleasure as always, Reverend Dr. Pastor Rabbi Sokol. That title is getting longer and longer. We'll do it again next Tuesday. Leland Live comes your way next. I'll be back Monday at noon. Bye-bye now.